Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, how we doing? It is the Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Kyle Tucker, who covers the Kentucky Wildcats for The Athletic, he's going to stop by 20 minutes from now. One note on the Kentucky coaching search. You know this now, that Scott Drew said no today. Adam Zagoria, who covers college basketball for a long time, he said he just got this text from one coach. It's getting embarrassing. Danny, no. Nate, no. Scott, no. People understand how difficult that job is, and they don't want to follow Cal. I don't think that's a fair representation, though. Like, Danny Hurley was never leaving UConn to go to Kentucky. If this was after the first championship, maybe. But when you have won back-to-back championships, you are now the face of college basketball, and you are the head honcho of the most successful program in the last 30 years in college basketball, I don't care what Kentucky has been and what Kentucky will continue to be. You're not leaving if you're Danny Hurley. So that's not embarrassing that Dan Hurley said no. If anything, it's the proper due diligence from Kentucky to make sure that he says no. Like, Jay Wright gets thrown out there. Jay Wright should always get thrown out there. Jay Wright's not coming back to coach college basketball. Nate Oates, all right, he says no. Is that really embarrassing? Scott Drew says no. Is that really embarrassing? I don't think so. Look what Scott Drew has built at Baylor. I think sometimes people just get so obsessed because we've seen it in so many different situations on what's the bigger job and what's the money. But Scott Drew is very happy at Baylor. He listened out of respect to Kentucky and Mitch Barnhart. He listened. He seriously considered it. But ultimately, he didn't think it was the best decision for him. Is that embarrassing? I don't think so. And what, should they not call Billy Donovan because there's a chance Billy Donovan wants to stay with the Chicago Bulls? Like, you got to swing big. You are Kentucky basketball. So, with Danny Hurley saying no, however it was with Nate Oates, Scott Drew saying no, I wouldn't call this search embarrassing, but you do sit back and you go, well, who is it going to be? And the big name that some people had, it may not be that. Like I said from the start of this search, realistic options, big names. The three realistic options that were all massive names in their own right in different levels. Obviously, Nate Oates, Scott Drew, and then Billy Donovan. Did I think all three of those guys would say no? I did not. Now, Billy Donovan still hasn't said no. But Nate Oates, out. Scott Drew, out. So, if Billy Donovan says no, I'm not going to say it's embarrassing. it's just a better lifestyle right now to be an NBA head coach than it is to be a college coach. And Billy Donovan, by the way, already has cemented his legacy in college basketball. He has won two championships, back-to-back, if you forgot, at Florida. He doesn't need to rush back to college basketball. And this is a job, obviously, that he has great respect for. So I don't think embarrassing is the right word. It's just surprising. Because now, as long as Billy Donovan doesn't have interest or says no, you're then getting into the next tier of names. From who I threw out there, Bruce Pearl. Sean Miller. You have some other names, Tommy Lloyd. So you go through those. How many of those names would be embarrassing? Like Sean Miller, I don't think it's an embarrassing name. I don't think it's a bad name. But it seems like a B hire. Seems like a B-plus hire. Tommy Lloyd has had three really good regular seasons. He's had disappointing NCAA tournament results. Shaka Smart. I like Shaka's energy. He's done a good job at Marquette. But when he got the big job in Texas, he didn't succeed. Chris Beard comes with a lot of baggage, obviously. Now, we know the guy's a heck of a coach, but there's a reason why he's no longer at Texas. And we know what he did at Texas Tech. So, I look at the names out there. You hire Bruce Pearl, I think that's met in a positive way. You hire Sean Miller, I don't think fans are jumping up and down, but I can't say it's a bad hire. Chris Beard, you're going to take some criticism, but he is coaching now. And fair or not, what was alleged, he's moved past, right? He's been coaching now at Ole Miss. But I don't think Chris Beard, Shaka Smart, or Tommy Lloyd should be the hires. Like, I don't think that would be met with a big positive reaction. Beard is a good coach, though. And we all know at Texas Tech, he had that team in a Final Four. And no one thought that was going to be the case. So, I look at the next tier of names, assuming it's not Donovan. Then it gets a little murky. But I still think you hire Bruce Pearl. And I know he had the show clause and everything like that. But I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, wow, Bruce Pearl would be this bad hire. It's just unexpected. Doesn't mean it's embarrassing, but it's unexpected that the three realistic names, Oates, Scott Drew, both didn't happen. And now, if Billy Donovan doesn't happen, it's not like I could say that my jaw is going to hit the floor. But you just got to pivot to the next guy. Now, here becomes the conversation, really, Samter. You don't get, let's say, Nate Oates. You obviously didn't get Dan Hurley. You didn't get Scott Drew. Billy Donovan says no. Should they have just kept John Calipari? Should they just have made sure that John Calipari stayed in Lexington? Because when you get to that category, and I'm fully understanding that I was someone that said this era needed to end in Lexington right after the Oakland loss. I thought this needed to be it. I didn't think Cal was going to win another championship at Kentucky. So I thought it was best to move on now than to wait another year or two. And especially when he leaves on his own accord and you don't have to pay the $33, $34 million, that helps you. But if you're bringing in Tommy Lloyd, Shaka Smart, Chris Beard, Sean Miller, the next tier of guys, I'm sure you will hear a lot from Big Blue Nation that are like, maybe even though we were very critical of Cal, and maybe a lot of us wanted the Cal era to end, maybe we didn't really appreciate and understand how good that we did have it even in some tough times.
I think that people are going to realize that no matter who they bring in. Listen, Scott Drew's great. Nate Oates is great. But I honestly feel like once Cal leaves, you're going to realize, man, like, we had one of the best coaches in the country, and we didn't appreciate. I know he fell short in the tournament, but like, he's a good coach who brought in star players and a lot of money to that program. So I think no matter who you brought in, they're going to feel that kind of sting.
Well, let me just throw this out there. If you bring in Sean Miller, Tommy Lloyd, Shaka Smart, Chris Beard, or Bruce Pearl, is there any name on that list that doesn't make you say, hey, we should have kept Cal?
No, I think any one of those guys who had success at other pro, and like Sean Miller's had success at Arizona. Tommy Lloyd, I know they fell flat this year, but success at Arizona.
Regular season, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, these are all guys who've had success at big programs. Chris Beard had success everywhere he's been before the, you know, before the accusations and everything. So, at the end of the day, every one of those guys, I think, will do great at Kentucky.
You know who's the name? It's the name that I've been saying. Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, I think Bruce Pearl would be great.
Because Bruce Pearl, we talk about the big-time swagger, a lot of the Kentucky, like why Kentucky fans, some of them did not want Scott Drew. They didn't think he had enough swagger. They didn't think he had enough of wanting to be the man and being the face of the entire operation, the biggest name right in the state. Bruce Pearl would embrace that. And not only that, he was winning at Tennessee. I know you had the scandals. Then goes to Auburn, took them to a Final Four. Like, if he could do that at Auburn, why can't he go win two more games at Kentucky and win a national championship? Would you think Bruce Pearl is a better name than Billy Donovan? Now, on the surface, you're like, oh my goodness gracious, what are you talking about? Billy Donovan's won two championships and is considered a great college coach. Billy Donovan also hasn't coached in college basketball since, what, 2015? So in this new era of name, image, and likeness, would Bruce Pearl be a better hire than Billy Donovan? I don't think off name reputation, and I do think they should explore Donovan first, but if you want to look pound for pound in the year of 2024, who would be a better hire? I do think it's Bruce Pearl because he has navigated the new landscape of college athletics that's still changing. So that's where I'm at on that. How about yourself?
I think it would be close. I think Billy Donovan's still a bigger name, especially being around some of the guys that he was around at OKC, being around some of the biggest pros. Maybe you can bring them in as recruiting tools or something along those lines. But the other name that I keep coming back to that Debbie Antonelli told us earlier was Brad Stevens. And I would love to see Brad Stevens get back to coaching, but you brought up a great point. And the more I'm looking at Twitter, you know, they just signed Drew Holiday to this big extension. Mm-hmm. What he's done as a GM of the Celtics is nothing short of amazing. Like
he's been good. He still hasn't won a championship. They got a lot of talent there. You got to win a championship.
Sure, but like he took a team that was they had some salary cap issues. They had a coaching issue. Mm-hmm. They were right there in the cusp, but they just need to get over the top. And he has done
survived the Ime Udoka mess.
Yes, he has done a masterful job with what he's done.
He's done a good job. This is where I'm not someone that goes great, 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 masterful, masterful, masterful. Here's why
I'm saying masterful with full knowing that I'm using that word. He's done a masterful job with what he's turned these players into. What he turned Marcus Smart into Porzingis, mm-hmm. and what he did with all these other guys, sure. and getting Drew Holiday. He's done a great job so far.
Let's see if you win a championship. You got to win a championship, especially with how open it is this year. But here's what I'll say. I don't think there's a shot Brad Stevens considers it. Brad Stevens right now has an NBA job where he doesn't have to go through the stress of coaching. And I'm sure there is stress with running the organization, but he's out of the spotlight. Think about that. You get paid a great amount of money. You get to run a historic franchise that you were once the coach of, and you didn't win a championship, but you are the face of the organization, but you don't have to deal with all the crap that usually a face of an organization would. Like, if he's still coaching, he's got to talk every day. But now he doesn't. That, to me, we all would love a job like that, where it's not as stressful as previous jobs that you've had. You get paid a king's ransom, and you get to control everything that you want. That, to me, is a great job. I'm not leaving that for Kentucky.
He's getting good money. Now, when he first signed with the Celtics, it was 6 years, $22 million. So he was getting, like, what, less than $4 million a year when he first signed with the Celtics in 2013. Now, I'm sure he's gotten raises since then. He's gotten extensions. But now that he's front office, he's, let's say he's making $5, $6, $7 million.
I don't know what he's making. I'm still sure that he probably makes the same as when he was coaching, if not more.
Right. So what he was making was $4 to $5 million mm-hmm. as a coach. So he's probably making around $4 or $5 million, maybe six. He could be getting up to $15 million. So yes, he has this great cushy job where he's not in front of the media. He doesn't have that same level of pressure. But he could triple his salary. That's a big deal, right? Like, if I have to take a job that's a little bit more stressful, maybe a lot more stressful, but I'm getting triple the pay, you know what? I'm taking that damn money.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think, it's easy for you to say that. I don't think Brad Stevens has a desire to coach. I don't. And I said this to you when Debbie Antonelli said this. When he left, or however you want to say how that did go down, I think his desire, when you get a taste of the other life, and it's different just coaching in the NBA or coaching in college. Like, that's a different conversation. But when you get to become someone that runs the organization, it's a different lifestyle. And I think that component gets lost in it. And we've seen other schools make runs at Brad Stevens before. I don't think there's a dollar figure out there that Brad Stevens is leaving to return to coaching in college. NBA maybe one day, but in college, no. He, as long as Wick wants him running that Celtics team, he's running that Celtics team. All righty. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Kyle Tucker is going to join us when we return. He writes for The Athletic for covering the Kentucky Wildcats. We'll get into this conversation later in the show. Why the NFL needs Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels to be stars. And I have a big reason because of that. But when we return, let's delve into all this chaos of Kentucky with Kyle Tucker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking Kentucky, and more Kentucky since we did find out that John Calipari is off to Arkansas. He was officially introduced yesterday, and now we're trying to figure out who the next coach of the Wildcats will be. Let's tap into Big Blue Nation right now with Kyle Tucker. Does a great job covering the team for The Athletic, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Kyle, thanks for the time. How you been?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So let's start in order here with Scott Drew. It seemed like in the last 24 hours, a lot of people were thinking he was going to be the next coach of the Wildcats. When it comes out today that he's staying with Baylor, just had you kind of process that one and react to it, especially with people you talk to.
Yeah, it's a big blow for Kentucky because, you know, the biggest reason it's not the biggest deal in the world if you miss on your first guy, but I think the reason this one is significant for Kentucky is because Mitch Barnhart had this guy in mind for the better part of 3 years. In 2021, when Baylor won the national title in the COVID bubble, Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director, was the chair of that tournament. They got to know each other. He got to see him up close and personal and be very impressed by him. And I've been told for a long time, I wrote it over 2 years ago when someone asked me in a mailbag, you know, whenever Cal leaves, who would be at the top of the list, that it would be Scott Drew. That he'd be the first call, the second call, and the third call has basically been at the top of that list ever since. And so I think it is significant that the guy the athletic director has had in mind for all this time and immediately went after, by the way, John Calipari was still in Lexington when a private jet with a Kentucky contingent took off from Lexington to bring back Scott Drew's family yesterday to come see the town and kind of make their decision. And so, I mean, it was the first thing he did when it was official that John Calipari was out the door was to try to go get his guy. And I think when you're that settled on one candidate, it's I would never suggest that he only had one candidate.
Sure.
I think he's a very smart guy and had others. But I think in his mind, he has probably believed that when the time came, with as much money and resources as Kentucky has to offer and the brand name of Kentucky. And two, it was always going to be hard to follow John Calipari, but it's not as hard as it was, you know, when he was at the height of his powers. I think Barnhart probably believed he was going to get this done, and he didn't. And so now it's on to, you know, what next? And that's a really tough question because, you know, the kind of people that you could hire that would be a no doubt, you know, walk-off home run, everybody's happy, nobody's questioning it. That's a tough list because, like, Danny Hurley, right? That's the first one you want to hire. Well, he just won two national titles at UConn. They're going to give him everything they can give him to keep him. And, yes, I think Kentucky could and probably already has outbid, you know, dollar for dollar UConn, but you can't necessarily buy happiness. If you're in a part of the country you like, if you're at a school that you love, if you feel like you can do something special, and Danny Hurley, I think we've all seen his self-belief.
Yeah.
He believes they can go chase a three-peat. He believes they can create, as he said, a modern-day dynasty, which seems impossible, right, until Danny started doing this in this transfer portal era. You know, I don't think he's going to do it. He's pretty unequivocally said he's not going to do it. Okay, so now you move on to who? You know, you're not hiring Bill Self away from Kansas.
Is Billy Donovan a realistic name to you?
Yes, I think so. I think Billy Donovan, you know, he's obviously turned them down twice in the past. He started his career, two of his children were born in Lexington, starting his career as an assistant under Rick Pitino in the early 90s. They've tried to go after him before, and he didn't take it. From what I gather, I think he's more open to a return to college. I mean, things aren't going great in Chicago. It feels like the NBA thing is kind of petering out for him a little bit. And there's just this, you know, if you're thinking about career and legacy and just sort of how you bookend a career, you know, you start your coaching career at Kentucky, you have this incredible run before Danny Hurley. He was the last coach to repeat as national champs at Florida. He's familiar with the league. He's familiar with all of the bigness of what the Kentucky program is. And when that program comes calling now and they sort of need a savior, you know, you were part of that process, right? When Rick was brought in to be the savior, you know what that looks like, and you know sort of how loved you can be, and how special the place can be if you're part of that. And there's a lot of money, as we mentioned.
Well, it seemed like Kyle Tucker's here with us, who covers the Kentucky Wildcats for The Athletic. I know what he said the other night before they played the Knicks, how much he loves Chicago and that's his focus right now. I kind of read into that, where he was basically saying, call me Kentucky and let's have a conversation.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the words that didn't come out of his mouth were, no, there's no chance. I'm not interested in going back to college.
Yeah.
And he talked a lot, by the way. He said a lot of words.
Do you think he'd take the job if he was offered it?
I can't say yes, but I can say I think he would have that conversation. And the only problem with Billy right now is really a problem of timing. Because their season doesn't end at least until the next weekend. You know, they're in the play-in game situation. If they win that, right, now they're in an actual series. I don't know that Kentucky could afford to wait. I think they could absolutely afford to wait until the end of next week. It's not ideal. He is not necessarily an ideal, you know, in this specific situation, not an ideal candidate, because you're going to have to completely redo your roster. And he's not an active coach in college who is going to bring transfers from his roster, who's going to bring his recruiting class. And that way, Drew is a perfect candidate, right? Because he has a number six recruiting class and he has a couple of five-star kids, one of which Kentucky almost got itself. You could almost have plug and play, you know, with Scott Drew and the talent he was going to bring, and assume they were going to be pretty good year one. That is a bit much bigger question with a guy like Billy Donovan, because Billy's not been in college. But the transfer portal didn't exist the last time Billy was coaching in college, and you're getting this later start if you wait until the end of next week. I think what Kentucky needs from Billy Donovan is an early conversation, even if it's in the back channels, even if it's not direct with Billy, but they need to know with a nod and a wink, today or tomorrow or the next day. I mean, soon.
Like if we wait, you're definitely going to end up coming to Lexington.
You're taking this.
You need, because then it gets, like, I saw Adam Zagoria said he was texting with the coach And he was like, oh, this is getting embarrassing for Kentucky so far. That's what the coach said. Like, I don't think this is embarrassing for Kentucky yet. Jay Wright was never coming. Dan Hurley was never coming here. Obviously, the Scott Drew thing was surprising, but look what he has done at Baylor. It's not the easiest thing to leave. Whatever happened with Nate Oates is what happened. Like, I don't think it's embarrassing yet, but if they waited for Scott Drew for Billy Donovan another 10 days or so, and then he says thanks but no thanks, then it gets embarrassing.
Then it's embarrassing. You're absolutely right. And like, as a fan base, I think even as the media, like, you can't say to Kentucky, make them say no, you know, on this list, make them say no.
And they get upset when they say no.
You say kudos, right? If you took a $10 million bag to Danny Hurley today and he said no, good on you. You tried, right? And there's no shame in like, well, we couldn't get the guy who's just won back-to-back national titles to leave the place he's trying to build a dynasty.
Who's also had a great program. Like, you could argue the best program in the last 30 years in college basketball.
I think you couldn't argue otherwise.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, you know, they are the dynasty. You know, they are the blue blood of the new bloods. There's just no doubt about it. They have won six to Kentucky's one national championship over the last 25 years. I mean, you know, if we're talking all of history, no, but if we're talking in the last 25 years, absolutely. So no, I don't think it's embarrassing, but I think we're to the point with Kentucky that, like, of the absolute home run opportunities, the make them say no's, and if you get one to say yes, you've crushed it. Billy is probably last on that, you know, in that group for them. And you need him to indicate in some way it's going to happen if you wait on me. I would say too, like, maybe one thing to watch if you're trying to figure out if that's a possibility is how engaged, or if they get engaged with other candidates in the next week.
Good point.
You know, if we stop hearing Kentucky's talking to this guy and that guy, then we might know something. You know, and two, you could put a skeleton crew. You could designate someone to be a recruiter on campus in the meantime if you knew Billy was coming. And you start talking to players and say, yeah, we got somebody pretty great coming. Like, why don't you, if you're making a decision, why don't you wait? That goes for transfer portal guys. That goes for recruits. I think you would say to some of those five-star recruits who have decommitted from Kentucky, hey, if you wanted to actually play for the school, and I think most of them go to play for the coach. I think most of them are going to go with Cal to Arkansas. But you have a chance, I think, if you get a nod and a wink from Billy Donovan, that you have somebody in that recruiting office start making phone calls. And I would also say, if I was Kentucky, I'd be willing to completely sacrifice year one to know you're having Billy Donovan for the long term. Because I would bet on Billy Donovan to figure it out, to hire a staff who knows the transfer portal, who knows all NIL, who knows the stuff that didn't exist before he got there, and then trust his ability to lead and coach and do all the other things. Like, Billy is a really smart guy. He is a very respected, you know, I would almost say general manager of a program. And I think college basketball needs a GM more than anything right now. If you're running a high level program, and Billy Donovan strikes me as that. I actually thought, you know, when I was trying to dissect over these last few years, like, what has gone wrong for Kentucky and Calipari, I thought he missed an opportunity to almost ascend to that general manager role, where you are at a high level running your program and you bring in the best of the best of the best in your staff, and you just kill it with thoroughness and organization and all of those things. Kentucky, I know Cal has talked about not feeling supported, has indicated that he didn't feel as supported at Kentucky, but they still spend more on basketball than anybody in America. He was making $9 million a year. His staff was making $500 to $1 million a staffer. That's enough money that if you use it the right way on the right people, you're going to succeed. And I think Billy Donovan would be a guy who could come in at a high level, figure out the right people to help him to know what he doesn't know, and in the long term, kill it. And to me, if you got that, if you knew you were getting that, you'd just say year one's a wash. If he scraps something together and is competitive, which you'd probably bet on Billy to do also, great. If he doesn't, I think you like your outlook in the long-term future.
So let's just say Kyle Tucker, who covers the Kentucky Wildcats for The Athletic, let's say Billy Donovan says, thanks, but no thanks. I've suggested Bruce Pearl then. Who's someone that you would suggest a name or two if we go through this and we know Scott Drew's not coming, no Nate Oates, and then obviously that would require Billy Donovan to say no. Where do they go after that?
Yeah, it's going to be really, that's where it does get, I don't know if you say embarrassing yet, but it gets worrisome for them. I think there is one guy who breaks the fall and you still win the press conference. It would be a little controversial, but I think it would be the story of college basketball then and all through next season, and that's Rick Pitino. I think he would crawl over broken glass and molten lava and everything else to come back to what the place he's called Camelot. You know, as I wrote today, he might be the only coach out there who could actually potentially convince Reed Shepard to come back to school. I mean, he is very close with that family. He coached Jeff Shepard. If you somehow got that tandem, I think every fan in the fan base would take it, you know, every day of the week.
Do you think that's realistic, though, from Mitch's perspective? Would Mitch do that?
Probably not. No, I mean, he doesn't strike me as a guy that could coexist with Mitch. But if you're Mitch and this thing, you know, and you're plummeting down the list of candidates and you have to nail it, right? You have got to hire a guy who moves the needle. Like, I just don't think you can hire before we came on, I'm engaging with some people on Twitter about Todd Golden. I'm a huge Todd Golden guy. Like, I think he's going to be excellent. I think he's one of the bright young coaches in college basketball. There's a bunch of those guys, right? Like Shirts and all, you know, Dusty May, you know, further down, Bucky McMillan. None of those guys, you can't hire somebody like that to Kentucky. You know, Todd Golden has zero NCAA tournament wins right now at 38 years old. That's not the job you give somebody in that stage of their career. But if you hire Rick Pitino and he's got four or five more years in the tank and he gets you back on solid ground, and then you know you keep your eye on those four or five young coaches who in 4 or 5 years are going to be ready for a job like that, that makes some sense, right? Like, as a transitional guy to get the program running right. I think there's some level of disorganization and fractured relationships and just mess, right? That was happening with Kentucky. That's a fact. It was not running like a well-oiled machine anymore. Someone like Rick would get that stuff squared away, I think. I think that's what Kentucky needs, whether it's Rick Pitino, whether it's any of these guys we've talked about. They got to get somebody in here who's just about work and getting the job done, grinding until you know all the details are covered. I don't think you can afford to assume that because of your name as a coach or the school's name as a brand that you're just going to win, because I'm Cal and I'm Kentucky, or I'm whoever and this is Kentucky, it'll win. It's not, there aren't any programs that just run themselves anymore, because there are a lot of equalizers in college basketball that don't allow the blue bloods to just run away from everybody else. And I think you do have to have a really sharp grinder, you know, grinding minded person running the program. Bruce Pearl, to me, if I was just saying like plug him in and would he win at a really high level? Yes. I don't know if, again, this is another guy that does Mitch Barnhart, who is sort of averse to, you know, drama and problems and baggage, who had to be kind of coaxed into hiring John Calipari the second time after not hiring him the first time. And with Kentucky's history, are they going to hire a coach who had served a 3-year NCAA show cause? I'm not sure. I find that hard to believe. I do think he'd win. Like, no question. I think Bruce Pearl win at Kentucky.
Well, last thing I want to ask you, I only got about a minute left with Kyle Tucker. Does a great job covering Kentucky for The Athletic. We were talking about this yesterday. When Cal comes back to Rupp Arena, what the reaction's going to be. I said he would get a standing ovation, but then you mentioned the transfer portal and how many guys he's probably going to take to Arkansas. What do you think the fan reaction would be from Big Blue Nation when they introduce Cal as the coach of Arkansas when he returns to Rupp Arena?
I think it's very dependent upon where Kentucky is in that moment. Like, if they've cratered out, you know, if they have, if they, you know, are scraping by and Cal comes strutting in, you know, if he's taking all those recruits and they're rolling, I think he gets booed. You know, I think if those programs are somewhat equal at that moment in time when he comes back in, if people are feeling good about the future, I think once people feel good about Kentucky basketball again, whether that's this season or moving forward, once they feel like their program is back on track, I think there will absolutely be an ability to appreciate him and to honor him. You know, I think even as it soured and there was some sadness that came I think he's handled a lot of things poorly from a PR standpoint in these latter years, but I think he nailed the goodbye message. And his wife put out a really heartfelt goodbye message. Even in his intro at Arkansas, you can hear, I think you can hear some sadness in his voice that he didn't really want to leave Kentucky, but he felt like he had to leave Kentucky. And I think people appreciate that. I think they know that he cared about it and wanted it to be great, maybe lost his way. And so I don't know if it'll happen this year. He may get booed this year. He may get booed next year. I don't know. But do I envision a day not that far off where people appreciate Cal and roar for him in there? Yeah, I think that will happen at some point.
Good deal. Kyle Tucker does a great job covering all things Kentucky basketball. You can check him out at The Athletic, also on social media at @KyleTucker_ATH on Twitter. Kyle, thank you so much. Appreciate the time and the insight.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
How about that suggestion by Kyle? Rick Pitino. I know people have talked about it if X, Y, and Z doesn't happen. And then he did say that he doesn't think it's likely because of the AD and Mitch. But, man, I'm coming home, tell the world that I'm coming home. Or, who said you can't go home? Maybe a little bit more better suited for the year of 2024. but let's get... I don't think we need to
I
hear.
Like that, Zach.
I don't think we need to hear any more of my singing. And there are some people right now that are like, I can't believe Gelba can't sing. Just wait till I'm at Springsteen tomorrow. A few drinks in at Mohegan Sun. I'll be singing my heart out.
You were just getting the voice ready.
Yeah, I was just getting
there.
The
you
voice.
Go.
I was getting all the bad, the bad kind of tone. The unpitched version of Zach Gelba out away on the radio.
There you go.
All righty, we'll come on back. Update time. Here is Dexter Henry. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll react to this in a bit. But according to John Rothstein, BYU's Mark Pope is a candidate for the head coaching vacancy at Kentucky. Pope was a member of the 1996 National Championship title team in Lexington and also is a huge fan. John really tweeted this out. Is a huge fan of our 5:40 p.m. Eastern time. Zach is back. All right. Rejoin, as we learned at the Final Four. I don't think Stu had the mics on. Or actually, it was on a Friday, I think, when he joined us. So whoever was in for Stu, I don't think had the mics on. But when that intro came back and that rejoin came back, he's like, this is awesome. This is unreal. And Mark Pope, who we've known for a while, that'd be pretty cool if he got the job. I don't think people in Lexington would be maybe jumping for joy. Now, it's one of your own big personality, I think, can be a good coach, but I would not have expected that Mark Pope would be the big-time name for Kentucky. Now, just because John Rossi puts his name out there that he's a candidate doesn't mean that he's going to get the job. As much as I love Mark Pope, I would still be surprised if Mark Pope is the next head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. What Kyle Tucker said, I think, will give us an indication. Like, in the next 48, 72 hours, we don't really hear a lot of juice with other names, and we kind of see them put the search on pause publicly, that means they have the guarantee from Billy Donovan behind the scenes. But I don't know if they're going to get that guarantee. All righty. It is a Thursday. Let's get to a Zach Gelb Show. PSA.
Warning. 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 It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
Using your phone while you're driving could kill someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Alrighty. A few weeks ago, Peter Schwartz, who is not afraid to take some freebies, which is fine, but he was working. I don't know who he was working for, but he went to Yankee Stadium and then he went to Citi Field. And every year they have these food samplings where they show the media, where the media just goes and stuff their fat faces with the new food items at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium. Now, Peter Schwartz did a terrible job in taking videos of the food to broadcast because it looked like he had grease from maybe the Prince Street pizza that he was stuffing his face with covered on the camera of the phone, the lens of the phone. Now, I'm seeing these videos for the first time, and it was back in March, but it's crazy. Because I was going to do my PSA on why ballparks can't just give you hot dogs now. Like, when was the day of just getting a hot dog? And I'm like, oh, let me go back to Peter's social media. And his video quality of this stuff is crazy. But you go back, you see this Prince Street pizza. You see these gourmet burgers that were made. They're serving lobster They have a rainbow cookie in an egg roll. Like, whatever happened about just going to a ballpark, getting some peanuts, some Cracker Jacks, a beer, and a hot dog? My PSA is that it's not even Peter Schwartz and shredding him, even though we just did so, which is always fun. And I love Peter. But it's the ballpark food has become just too crazy and too ridiculous. Where now, you can't eat, like, I know you can get a hot dog, but you feel shamed if you just get a hot dog because you have all these bougie Instagrams. Oh, look at my rainbow cookie egg roll, or look at my lobster roll sandwich. Just go get a hot dog and some Cracker Jacks and some peanuts and drink a few beers during a game. That's my PSA. Too bougie, these ballparks. Samter, what do we got cooking?
I love the bougie ballpark.
Because you're bougie.
Yeah.
You and Ack felt like both bougie.
When the Yankees started bringing sushi to Yankee Stadium.
Come on, sushi at Yankee Stadium?
I mean, this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Stop.
I think it was Hideki Arabu that kind of got that whole thing started. It was great.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Here's my PSA. I was listening to my former quarterback, who I got to watch play for four plays before I decided to leave the Jets and become a Chiefs fan. He was on a podcast, and we're going to play some of the audio later on. And it was just like 2 hours of just one conspiracy theory after another
conspiracy theory after another conspiracy.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers. And this isn't really just about Aaron Rodgers. This is just about conspiracy theories in general, right? I understand that there are some theories and some conspiracies out there that have some truth behind them and some that are true, right? You have a variety of different things, right? But not all conspiracy theories can be true. And if you want to say you believe in one or two conspiracy theories, I'll listen and I'll kind of hear your thoughts and kind of fight back on some of the facts of the case. But if you believe in every single conspiracy theory, you're just the boy who cried wolf. You sound like an idiot. You sound like a clown, right? We have flat earthers and JFK assassination, the moon landing, 9/11. People say that birds aren't real. Like, there are just some ridiculous, stupid things out there that, like, at one point, it's like, okay, well, we don't want to trust XYZ. Don't trust the government. Don't trust this. Don't trust that. Fine. I get the skepticism, but at a certain point, you sound like a whack job with a tin hat on, and you just sound crazy. Like, just chill out, people. Okay. Come on.
I will say this. I will respond to the Rogers stuff in News Brief. The only thing I will say, there's a major hypocrisy in something that Rogers said. Shocker, Rogers being a hypocrite. With something Roger said like a little over a month ago, and now what he continues to do, which he was speaking against. Stu, send us home.
All right, mine's pretty simple. It's just don't get old. I did the treadmill for the past few days, and including last night.
Out of breath?
And no. I woke up this morning with my knee throbbing. Uh-oh. I could barely stand when I got out of bed. Mm-hmm. I was walking with a limp for probably the first half of the day or so. So just don't get old because it stinks.
Can I give you a piece of advice here?
What do we got?
Not that I am a fitness coach and I don't want to lecture you. You doing the treadmill?
I do a mixture of a few things, but treadmill is one of the things I do, yes.
Elliptical is made for people when they get older. Now, I'm not decrepit, but I've lost a lot of weight just using the elliptical. I'm on the elliptical 6 days a week, ooh, an hour a day.
That's pretty good.
So it's pretty good. And my body has not been killed from the elliptical. And there's a lot of body to be had here with your boy. The elliptical, I think it's a very easy workout. J.J. Watt says it's boring. I don't find it boring, but it's an easy workout where you sweat a lot, and I don't think it kills your body as well. So maybe my PSA to you, Stu, stop at the treadmill. Get on the elliptical.
Do the elliptical more.
Yeah. All righty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Chris Trapasso is going to join us on the other side. We are going to do a Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft. I will take the odd picks. Chris will take the even picks, and we will fill out the top 10 as we will do this maybe one other time before the NFL draft does come your way two Thursdays from now in Detroit. Got one more hour to play, 60 minutes to rock and roll. Do what you got to do. We'll be back right after these short messages.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.